The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Ski. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and welcome to this edition of the TWBC podcast. My name is Tony Lightfoot, and glad to have you on board for this special edition. For those of you expecting to listen to part two of my interview with Louis Duplan-Freiberg, that will broadcast in the next episode of the TWBC podcast, because I have someone special in the interim with the Moomba Masters just a little bit away. We've got the chief announcer for that tournament. It is none other than Jared Faro. So Jared, how are you doing, sir?
Yeah, very good, mate. It's great time of the year to be in Melbourne, and especially with Moomba coming up, or the open skiing starting tomorrow. It's really going to be something special.
Certainly. It's the kickoff for the professional season, you know, and one of the final spots to automatically qualify for the Masters is up for grabs in all three events, you know. So there's added motivation there on a consistent basis. But for the benefit of those folks out there that are wondering who is Jared Faro, let's clue them in a little bit. Starting off with how you kind of got into the sport, and more specifically how you got into in the broadcasting realm via commentating type deal.
Yeah. That goes back a long way there, Tony. And I started tournament skiing back when I was about 12. I was a little bit of a late starter from a tournament perspective. Didn't start till I was sort of 12. We didn't really have the money growing up to have skis, like get good skis and that. But I got sort of taken under the wing by a couple of Australian skiers and sort of skied my way as my juniors up to sort of under 17s, and then stopped for a few years, and then I've made a few comebacks here and there. But now that I'm in over 35s, I'm trying to ski a little bit more. And but from an announcing side, I've always liked to talk, as you most people are well aware. But yeah, it was more for me from an announcing side when I first came to Junior Moomba, which is going on right now. No one used to commentate Junior Moomba. All of the your Mark Brettis and your Desbert Kennedys all used to come in on sort of Friday and would kind of leave the juniors, and no one would really care about the juniors. And I said, well, they're the future of the sport. We really need to be promoting the juniors.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just jumped on the microphone. I think it was in about 2009, 2010-ish. Just basically did the juniors, and then let the big guns do the seniors, and started doing our national championships, and then slowly became, they kind of let me in and did a little bit. They called it an apprenticeship back then, but yeah, basically just did the hard yards and made it to kind of where we are today.
And you made it to the lofty heights of chief announcing position over at the Moomba Masters, this year's gonna be a little bit different, because y'all are missing someone this time around.
Yeah, that's really, look, even I go back to that sort of December stage when we sort of start talking about who's coming, and I always know Glenn's involved. I can usually count on the great Rob Wing to kind of put his hand up and say, yep, Jared, I'm going to be there. And I'd heard that he wasn't very well, and I didn't reach out to him just before Christmas, and then he rang me only 4 days before he unfortunately passed, and said, Jared, look, I feel good. I'm not going to be able to make it to Moomba, but look, I just want to don't lose my spot's still there for next year. I said, Rob, you will always have a spot on the commentary team at Moomba. And yeah, then literally 4 days later we got the news, which is, yeah, it still breaks my heart, and it's even horrible just being here and knowing that we're not going to be able to hear his voice. But we have got, I don't know if you've been watching, we've renamed the we'll make the official announcement during Men's Slalom tomorrow. But we're going to name the commentary box after Rob Wing. It'll be the Rob Wing commentary box. And we're going to do a memorial for Rob, during Men's Slalom tomorrow.
Yeah, and absolutely no finer tribute to the great man himself. You know, officially naming the commentary booth there at the Moomba Masters after an absolute legend in the game. And you know, I've heard of him from yonks ago. You know, I mean, and the first time I got to meet him was like at the World Championships, the World Championships when I started doing the announcing gig was back in 1991, and he was there, wasn't in any kind of an official capacity or anything like that, but he offered little snippets of advice, he was a top bloke. I mean, absolutely, in no two ways about it.
Oh, yeah, and you know what? Some of the comments that he says, I know some international people may not understand some of the comments that we had, but like that's the thing that I think we're going to miss the most is those little cheeky quirks that Rob had. And I know we used to pay out a little bit on Rob, but, yeah, look, he's certainly going to be missed, and, yeah, he'll certainly be remembered here at Moomba for a very long time.
Yeah, it's going to be... going to be hard to contemplate a Moomba Masters tournament without hearing his call, you know. But I mean, I'm sure that you and Glenn and everyone else on the commentary team will do a bang up job on the Yarra River and you know you.
Well, let's just
put
it out there, Tony. I did ask you to come.
Okay, yeah, let's document that. I wasn't going to mention for that. That would have been a little bit too self-serving for my taste. But yes, you did ask me to come, but unfortunately I had prior work commitments which kind of precluded me from coming over. But I think the situation may be a little bit different next year because there's going to be three major events in the Southern Hemisphere. There's the Junior World, not the Junior Worlds. The Junior Worlds is coming up in less than a month. Can you believe that? Anyway,
no, I know it's crazy.
Yeah, the World U21s in Peru in January. There's the World Elite Championships in Moala. That's going to be in February, and then obviously the Moomba Masters, which is going to be in March. So maybe I can avail myself,
and hopefully maybe there is talks. I'm actually vice president of Water Ski Australia as well, and there is talks that we're going to try and squeeze in an extra pro tournament between Worlds and Moomba. Maybe that's just a bit of a
That would be bang up if you could manage that, certainly. But yeah, I mean, it's gonna be a really, really tricky for the pro skiers. I mean, towards the end of this season, because they need to start thinking about how they're gonna train, how they're gonna peak, how they're gonna do all of that stuff in preparation for everything that's going on in the Southern Hemisphere. And I mean, guys like Matty Gonzalez and Martin Labra and those folks, you know, I mean, they're still eligible for under 21s, and there's a whole bunch of those to consider for January. Then they got to go cross ocean to Australia for what could be, well, now you kind of told us a little bit, maybe anywhere up to three tournaments are going on and around about this time next year.
Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, we always find it from the Southern Hemisphere states, we always find it very difficult to get ready for Worlds because it is, Moomba is towards the end of our
now
season.
Now the ball's in your court.
And now we get a bit of a chance to perform on that big stage. But look, I'm lucky enough. I'm actually part of the Moala group. So I'll be, I think I've projected at the moment, I think I've got to take 6 weeks off work or very limited work for the couple of weeks before the World Championships. Then, of course, the week of the World Championships. And then we probably will have, well, I'll certainly try and have a week's break before then coming down here to Moomba for another week. So, yeah, it's going to be a very busy time. But look, we're really excited to have the Opens up at Moala. It is an amazing site, what we've done over the past 10 years to get it to where it is, and having the Junior World Championships back in 2013. We're having the National Championships for Australia there in 3-4 weeks' time. It's it's the best ski site in Australia. So let's just put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. The Max Kerwin Lakes, as it were.
Yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's not forget that legend in the sport of tournament water skiing in Australia, you know, and yeah. He left an indelible mark upon the sport, and it continues on to this day, as it were. And no doubt you're going to maybe sometime in the future, and not only create a little bit of a legendary status on your shoulders so far as announcing is concerned, but also actual physical tournament skiing, because apparently you're getting ready to ski in the O35 Worlds over in the Lakes of Castonstone, possibly.
Yeah, but that was the plan. I wanted to go back to the Worlds in France, when they were in France, the O35 Worlds back in France in 22, but unfortunately my wife decided to get pregnant.
Okay, fair enough.
So unfortunately missed that one. And then in 2024, I had all the issues that I had with my infection in my knee, so I missed 2024. So finally in 2026, barring any major setbacks, yeah, the plan is to go to Calgary, and really looking forward to it.
How are you going to get to train for that one? Because obviously, right about the time of Calgary, it's in midsummer Northern Hemisphere. It's midwinter in Australia, wherever you happen to be skiing. Which is, by the way, where do you ski? Where do you typically?
I usually would ski at Mwala. So if I'm not skiing at Mwala on the weekends, I also ski at the Latrobe Valley Water Ski Club, which is about an hour and 20 minutes.
Where they've had the Aussie Open for several years, right?
You're correct. We used to have the pre-Moomba or post-Moomba tournament down there as well. We hold some most three event tournaments down there, because Mwala for me is about a 3.5 hour drive. So I don't kind of go there, but yeah, I'm kind of lucky, I guess. I'll try and ski as much as I can up until our nationals, which will be at Easter time. Then ski a couple of weeks after that. And then my plan, lucky enough that I get to go to the Masters at Callaway Gardens, and I'm going to take my skis over to Orlando and ski the week or so before, the week before Masters and a couple of days after Masters, at least to try and just keep the body fit enough to then fly back to the cold in Australia, and then prepare for Worlds. So
sounds good. So announcing isn't your only gig. What kind of work do you do to keep the Aussie dollars coming in?
A lot of people say I don't do a lot of work, but my main
work is work.
My main source of work. I'm actually in power generation, so I'm look after sales manager for diesel generators here in Victoria. So yeah.
Yeah,
sell generators, and we've got a very unstable power grid. So I'm usually very busy on the phone and off the phone, especially during Moomba, because I'm not working, but I am still on the phone. So it's very hard to juggle sometimes.
And I mean, as I'm talking to you right now, I mean, we're in the first part of March, you know, and I mean, a lot of things are going on in the world, unpleasant stuff, you know, with geopolitics and what have you. You mentioned diesel, and one of the things that's been talked about a little bit in Australia right now is the fact that Australia doesn't have that much in terms of a fuel reserve right now, apparently, from what I'm hearing. And I do check in occasionally to whatever's going on in Canberra right now with the federal government, you know, and with the debates that they've got going on. They reckon that they've got about less than 30 days of diesel left, unless something dramatically happens.
Yeah, it is. It's always kind of been a struggle. People don't really. You see, Australia is such a big country, and you just assume that we've got our own resources. But unfortunately, yeah, all of our diesel and oil get shipped in, most of it, and we don't hold a lot of reserves. But yeah, so it does leave us open. So fingers crossed. There's no panic buying going on at the moment. But yeah, it's never been a problem. We've got refineries here in Melbourne that do what they need to do, and yeah, fingers crossed. Let's just hope it's not going to get down that path. But We're certainly seeing price of petrol and price of diesel certainly move a lot over the past week.
Yeah, it does tend to fluctuate a little bit whenever you've got a conflict going on somewhere, especially somewhere where about 20% of the world, the known natural reserves are present. So obviously it'll have an impact upon the sport, and obviously Moomba Masters, you know, trying to get fuel and what have you, and even across the way behind you, you know, across where the botanical gardens are, where Albert Park is, and those of you that know Formula One will instantly recognise the name Albert Park as being the venue for the Australian Grand Prix. And, you know, you've got some noisy neighbours to contend with this season. So how's that gone so far?
Look, we're kind of lucky at the moment because, I mean, if you're walking around the festival, and even last night there's a lot of people with Formula One merchandise on, and they're selling merchandise at Federation Square, which is just up the river a little bit. But we don't quite... Yeah, used to be able to, back in the day when Formula One was on the same weekend as Moomba, you could hear them going around the track. Albert Park, we kind of sit, those that have been to Moomba, we kind of sit in a little bit of a bowl where the Yarra is, and then behind us is the Botanical Garden, which is a large, basically open park with gardens. And then the other side of that is St Kilda Road, and then there's Albert Park. So we kind of get a little bit blocked from now the noise of Formula One, but it's still, the city is an absolute buzz at the moment. I was just talking to someone just before about Sunday night. I feel Sunday night with even Night Jump and Night Jump Sunday night, because we've got not only Moomba going on, the end of the Formula One, we've got an AFL football match which is happening over the other side of the Yarra, excuse me.
Who are the folks in the AFL match?
So that's going to be Collingwood versus St Kilda, and there'll be close to probably 80 to 100,000 people there.
That has to be over at the MCG, right?
Correct, yes, yeah. So it is going to be, Sunday night I think is going to be probably one of the biggest nights that Melbourne has seen for a very long time.
Yeah, underscoring the whole notion of Melbourne being like the sports epicenter on the entire planet, it would seem.
Yeah, well, last night they had the Melbourne Storm playing in the rugby league. again, that gets people then through for Night Jump. Even for usually Thursday night, junior Night Jump, there's a few people around, but it's usually not that busy. Last night was probably the busiest Thursday night that we've had. So, yeah, it really leaves us optimistic that we're going to see a lot more people down here, especially Friday night and then through the rest of the weekend.
Next thing you tell me that the Seattle Seahawks will be playing the New Orleans Saints over in over at the MCG with the...
I did have my fingers crossed and my toes crossed that we would that the Seahawks would have been playing in Melbourne when they have the game here in September, in October, but unfortunately it's going to be the 49ers and the Rams. So
From the same division, just to like turn the screw even further, right?
I know. But nah,
why couldn't they pick the Seattle Seahawks for you guys? I'll never know. I mean, so far as my team is concerned, which you probably have tweaked, that it's the New Orleans Saints, they get to play in Paris upcoming season in the International Series.
You might have a few more seasons of not so nice times, unfortunately, for the Saints.
Oh, be careful! Careful! our brand new quarterback is starting to find his rhythm, but we kind of digress a little bit here from football, the American style of football, not soccer, and I could even talk about soccer right now because, I mean, the Australians are getting ready for the FIFA World Cup coming up not too far away from here. But let's talk a little bit about Moomba Masters and the stuff that's going on the Yarra River, because, I mean, I've tuned in a little bit to whatever's been going on with Junior Moomba under 21s, you know, and it's... it's been absolutely out of this world with the tricking scores right now, because I mean, a new Moomba course record, 12,800 points, you know, from what was it, Martin Labra, you know, in the tricking competition, and because the format of the tricking competition, that wasn't even enough to see him to the win, because Jake Abelson actually tricked over 12,500 and matched that with an early round score. I mean, the format is how they used to do it in World Championships, where it wasn't just a singular final round score; it was the amalgamation of two scores from the first and second round.
Yeah, look, the tricking at the moment, and we're just saying, sorry, I've just got a fire truck going past, but yeah, the tricking this morning was absolutely out of this world. I was actually, funnily enough, when Jake was skiing and when Martin was going past, I was actually standing next to Patricio Font, and I said to Pato, I said, mate, you guys are gonna have to bring your A game this week. If you think about, like, just the name, those names, and Joel Poland was there too. I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if we see all of those guys all tricking well up over 12,000 points, and it's going to be a battle for who is going to make it onto those top three. It's just, it's phenomenal. I think trick skiing at the moment, as much as what it was, go back 6 or 7 years ago, it was kind of
the event
kind of got pushed a little bit to the side. Now I feel like it's getting to that point where it's the pinnacle of what people want to see.
And not only that, but the tricking points are going to be revised in time for next year's Moomba Masters, which means we could see even more dynamic tricks, you know. And over the years, I've tried to voice my opinion a little bit on a particular toe trick, the toe wake line front. It's the toe wake line back is a relatively simple trick, but I mean, for years and years and years, it was always scored the same as the toe wake line back. But now they've added 20 more points to the deal for that seemingly relatively simple trick. But it's, I tell you what, I mean, for even the top folks, it's as hard as heck to execute, and like you say, I mean,
and to execute correctly too, that's the hard part. Martin does it at the very end of his trick run,
mm-hmm.
and you always see it always looks really sketchy trying to come back to the front. And yeah, look, I think adjusting the points is going to be a good thing. But yeah, I mean, everyone has their own opinions on
whether is it going to be enough
not,
of a good thing though
change.
Is it going to be enough of a good thing? I mean, because I mean, you see guys such as Clarence Laveau and Joel Poland and others try these amazingly complex FIPs, but they can't put them into their run, at least not for the time being, because it takes such a long time for them to recover and continue on to pile on the points, you know, and the amount of time that they lose is points, you know.
And that's where you look at someone like Matthias's world record. Like, he doesn't do anything out of the ordinary. He doesn't do anything. He is just super efficient and super fast through that, especially his toe pass, that he doesn't have to go and increase the difficulty in tricks. He just can just jam a lot more in a shorter amount of time.
Excellent, excellent. So we talked enough about tricks. What about the other two events and the overall? I mean, the slalom event. I mean, we're not going. I don't think we're going to see Nate Smith this year. He has the working commitments cutting into his skiing time and his prep for this event among the issues there. But I mean, like Freddie Winter, one of my favorites. I won't deny that in any way, shape, or form. But I mean, I went to the water ski predictor. And I put half of my tokens on Freddie Winter to win this one. Do you reckon I should have gone elsewhere?
Look, I think, and again, it's going to be changed next year because the World Series will be part of Moomba this year. We decided to trial under 21s this year, knowing that we would lose a few of the juniors to the. Because of Junior Worlds. So we decided we trial under 21s this year and then be part of the Nautique World Series next year. So it's, I think, nothing against Charlie, but he kind of has a little bit of an advantage being that he gets to ski twice. He skied yesterday, he ran 39 and a half, got three or four at 10.25 yesterday. I think that is going to set him up as much as you can to take the win. Nothing against Freddie. If someone is gonna challenge, I think it can be Freddie. Is it an advantage? Who knows? Moonbury is one of the things. The conditions each round change. So, look, I certainly wouldn't say that it's a bad bet. I just think Charlie looks so dialed in, is what he did yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, and he's really grown in confidence over the last couple of seasons. Yeah. I mean, like starting off in the middle of the summer, for crying out loud, he gotten yeah. into 9.75 meters and replicated that kind of form on a number of occasions since then. Was just a whisker away from snagging his first ever world elite title. I'm sure you got to see the coverage on that one from Ricchetto last season.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, look, it's even slalom. Look, I think the door, especially here at Moomba, it's open to anyone. It depends on the conditions we get. Unfortunately, I don't know if you've looked at the forecast, but tomorrow isn't looking overly favourable for slalom. There is going to be a little bit of wind around, so that could also play into to where people are going to be. Yeah, whether they're going to make the finals or not.
Yeah, those that train and in those kind of conditions will certainly have a little bit of an edge, much like Charlie Ross. You know, I mean, he purposefully goes out on like one of the roughest lakes that you can find in Central Florida, and just runs pass after pass. You know, and you know he's appears to be as dialed in as any you'll see out there in the men's slalom. But let's talk about women's slalom. We're not going to see Whitney McClintock this year, so the field is wide open, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, look, I think the field for probably the silver and bronze is wide open. I think if you had to put your money on, you would be putting it all on Regina to take the win. She looked so calm last year. Unfortunately, missed the win, but yeah, look, if they not have Whitney here, look, she needs to grow her family. That's what she told me last year when I interviewed her, and she told me that she wasn't going to be coming back.
That was a big old exclusive you got last year. I was impressed.
Yeah. So look, you know what? Congratulations to Whitney, and we certainly wish her all the best. And it is a shame not having her, because she was such a crowd favorite. People would just come down just to watch Whitney. And you know what? It's great for Regina to be coming back, because she missed out on Moomba for so long. And now she's, hopefully, she makes this part of her yearly pilgrimage down here. And definitely don't count out anyone on the list, even the Australian Sadie Ferguson. We know that she's capable of knocking on that door. But you got nearly, even Kennedy Hansen could snag a podium on when it comes down to Moomba Monday.
Yeah, absolutely, and a few of those will probably feature high in the overall battles as well. But let's put that to one side a moment and try and predict how the jumping event is going to pan out. I mean, not only with the daytime jump, but with the nighttime jump as well, which isn't always a crowd favourite there on the Yarra River.
Look, I think for women's jump, I think it's going to be a two-way battle, as it was last year between Brittany Greenwood and Sasha. Like, I don't think they're the two best female jumpers in the world. But on the flip side, don't count out a young super talent who's also been able to ski twice over the past 2 days, and that's going to be Christy Appleton.
Oh,
she
wow.
She did have a fall yesterday. She went out the back yesterday, but I was skiing up at their lake 2 weeks ago up at Helidon, and she was pushing very close to cracking low 50-meter jumps. So if she can put it together, I think Christy Appleton could be a dark horse to make it onto the podium.
But enough.
Yeah, I think out in front will definitely be Sasha and Brittany battling.
Enough of a dark horse to maybe qualify for the US Masters, possibly?
Well, I think that might be a bit of a stretch, but yeah. We can always hope. But in the men's, I was talking to Joel Poland down before, defending jump champion, and I said I said to Joel, I said, you better bring your A game. And he goes, how can I? And this is a fully exclusive. He's landed in Australia, and both he and Eduardo Morenzi, one has broken a left, one has got a broken left ski, and one has got a broken right ski. So
you can't make this up, can you? You cannot make this up.
No, definitely not. So thankfully, both will be able to. I know that Joel's going to borrow Corey Saddington's skis, and has been skiing up at Bridgewater for the past couple of days on them. But yeah, that's what happens. Unfortunately, with international travel, you've also got to put up with sometimes broken equipment, which you don't want to have. But yeah, look. I know Ryan was down training at La Trobe yesterday, had a bit of a cut. Usually he doesn't do that. Usually Ryan's basically come in, game face, game on. But I think for men's jump, it's going to be a battle between Ryan and Joel for the win. You never know, though. We saw last year, Igor came out and I think he jumped 67, something in the high 67s last year in the preliminary round. Couldn't put it together in the final. So if conditions are favourable, then, yeah, who knows?
Yep. It's one of those things with Moomba Masters, you know. I mean, you could come in with some of the best form in your lifetime, and then just out of the blue. And I mean, I recall like several years ago when Thomas de Gasperi was slaloming, and the King Tide came in and just totally just flattened everything on the Yarra River. I mean, I couldn't believe my eyes right there.
Don't worry, we were exactly the same. It was just like, what is going on? Like, how is this even happening? But, yeah, look, I think for jump's going to be a little bit closer than I think people realise, especially, as I said earlier, like tomorrow the wind is not going to be overly favourable. It's going to be a southerly wind, which is almost sort of straight across the course. But because, as I said, like we're kind of in a bit of a bowl here, it usually either comes tailwind if it's coming from the south. So that could also play effect with what happens in jump tomorrow.
All right, then. I'll certainly be looking forward to that, and also to some huge crowds for Moomba Masters, you know, because, I mean, after the Grand Prix gets done, a few of them might want to take a little bit of a stroll past the botanical gardens, head towards the Yarra River and see what all the noise is about there. So one thing I wanted to ask you a little bit in regards to the Formula One crowd and in addition to the skiing crowd, I mean, has that resulted in a really, really huge spike in hotel rates and stuff like that? You know, I mean, because there was a lot of talk here whether they could have actually afforded to go to Moomba Masters. I mean, getting on a flight is one thing, but being able to stay cost effectively, another thing entirely different.
Yeah, look, it's kind of a shame because you have relationships with particular hotel chains. I won't name names, but yeah, and then all of a sudden to have the events happening on the same weekend and prices literally tripled. Yeah, for especially the official hotel where all of the officials stay, it basically went. It tripled. So unfortunately, this year we're having to ship officials in from about a 20-minute drive away out of the city. And part of the Moomba experience is to be in the city. You want to be a part of what's going on, just the festival and the city's a buzz. And yeah, look, some people have been able to find accommodation that's relatively cost effective, not far away from the site, which is it's a little bit of a shame, but. In the end, it is what it is. We can't change the Formula One dates, and Moomba has to be on the long weekend. Just happened to fall. We're just fingers crossed. It's projected that potentially next year it's not going to be on the same weekend. So that's what we're hoping for. But you know what? I mentioned this in the junior meeting when we did the junior meeting on Wednesday night. I just feel. From a Moomba perspective, thank you for everyone that's made the effort to come, because we always knew that it was going to be an expensive trip for people, and that being here and making the event what it is. It's the event is not what it is without our skiers coming. So I just thanks for those who have put their hands in their pockets and done what they can to get here.
All right, then. And with that, I will start to wrap up this edition of the TWBC podcast. Thanks a lot, Jared Faro, for your participation in it. But is there anything you'd like to add, any acknowledgements, thank yous, that kind of stuff? The opportunity is here for you for that.
I mean, you've got to thank the event organizers here for Moomba that just put on an absolute... It starts literally the day that Moomba finishes, they start doing. So Darren Robinson, Fran Hines, Wayne Bryant, Bruce Coburn, all of the judges that helped put on the event. It's just...
And Dave Kidd as well. Who's actually retiring after this Moomba Masters, right?
Yeah, correct. So they've got some new guys down there to help work out how things go. Because that's the intricacies of Moomba that people don't get. It's the week and a half prior that those guys are here putting in all the cross-course wires and putting in the jump, putting in the weights, putting in the backwash systems. It's those sort of things that without those people that have been involved in Moomba for such a long time, the event just doesn't go ahead. But we need to be transitioning people into those roles. Otherwise, the event does die. But even for sponsors, we're going to do a lot of sponsorship talk this year. And we'll do some pre-recorded interviews and we'll do some live interviews over the weekend. But all the sponsors from Nautique and the new boat from all accounts is if we're not going to see course records this year, if we're not going to see world records this weekend, I believe we could see some, we've already seen course records broken.
Yeah, exactly.
We should definitely see some Moomba records broken, but really looking forward to it. I think, if you love slalom, join tomorrow on the webcast, 8 a.m. all the way through till 2:30 in the afternoon. We've got 7 hours of slalom tomorrow, and then men's jump in the afternoon, and then we've got, of course, tricks and the second last chance qualifier on Sunday, as well as women's jump, and then of course Moomba Monday. Nothing beats a good old Moomba Monday.
Yeah, but just make sure you get the older Google Assistant out and just ask it what time is it in Melbourne, Australia right now. Just to make sure you get the timing right. Absolutely, because you don't want to miss a moment.
Well, Tony, I'll put it out here now that if you would like to come 2027, book in your leave or book what you need to do now and make your way over here and get to experience it firsthand.
Yeah, there might be a few disappointed Japanese skiers that need training about this time next year. But I certainly thank you for the invitation, and I certainly thank you for being a participant in this episode of the TWBC podcast. I'm sure that during the course of the event you'll be pushing this podcast out to the good folks and push them over to the wonderful chat that we've had here over the last few minutes. And with that, that concludes this edition of the TWBC podcast. And until next time, it is ciao for now.
The expressed views of the guests on this podcast. Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.